Hey, this is Michael Lindsay from Vital MX. We finally got a break from our travel schedule to sit down and record some thoughts on the 2019 Suzuki RMZ250. Now, of course, this is the reason why we are in the country. Came out here to check out the bike with Suzuki. They brought us out. This is actually the third time I've been in the past 4 years for Suzuki for a product intro. But this is kind of cool because it's the first time we've actually rode the bike while we were here. The prior two times we would ride a works bike, we'd get to check out the new bike, but we wouldn't get to swing a leg over it. Kind of due to the delayed schedule on getting this bike to the public and even being able to get test bikes to the US, I think they decided this go around to not only have us come out, sit with R&D staff and, you know, really get to dig in and learn about the bike. They also wanted us to ride the production bike while we were here, or the closest thing to the production bike per se. I guess that's one of the two disclaimers I'll drop before I really get into my thoughts on the bike. Number one, they do tell us that the bike we rode on this trip is based off final production settings, but as far as I'm aware and based off the wording, they are not final production bikes off the same, I don't know if I want to say factory or floor, that the bikes are going to be delivered to the public. I don't know if I call the bikes we rode protos or what, because they had almost no time on them. Each bike, from my understanding, had 1 hour on them before we rode them. So they're some sort of final test batch sort of equipment that, you know, that they said had all finalized settings in them. So that's what we got to swing a leg over. And then the second disclaimer has more to do with the situation in which we rode the bike. Of course, if anybody watches any of our other test fields or any media outlets, you always hear us comment about wanting to get them back to California or just something we're used to test on per se. There was definitely plenty to learn about the machine out here, but we also rode kind of something a little bit different. We actually, anybody's been checking out news or anything may have known that there was a big typhoon that came through the country in the last week. So there's been a lot of rain in the area. The track we rode was pretty sloppy in the morning. It took most of the day to get decently dry, and by then it was pretty rut out. It was kind of a sand, kind of a semi-sand track with a pretty hard base underneath it, but really soft tops. It was kind of sloppy. You know, it was an opportunity to test it, but we were also kind of fighting against that and when trying to judge exactly what the bike was doing. In this case, I think, you know, it's pretty easy to tell what the engine improvements are, to get a general feeling for the balance of the bike and some of the general characteristics, but the little fine-tuned stuff like the exact feeling of the suspension, grip, rigidity, frame, some of that stuff's going to come down to riding it more in situations that we're used to really directly compare. And in the situation, we only rode the new bike while we're here. We didn't have an older one to compare it to, and it's been a solid 8 months since I think I rode the last bike. So getting into the changes, just a quick overview for anybody that hadn't checked out the first look or saw all the press info that has been released on in the last few days. We are dealing with a bike with an all-new chassis and bodywork. A lot of it looks very similar to the RMZ 450. Actually, this is the first time all their bodywork is 100% the same. The fuel tank, shrouds, everything, so everything carries over between those two bikes. And then it does have an all-new chassis that looks a lot like the 450 one, but it is built specifically for the 250. The biggest area you'll notice that in is in the cradle itself. And then from there, we have a series of engine upgrades, mostly related to the absolute top end of the engine. The cases, basically from the cylinder and piston down, the bike is almost identical to the prior few years' engines, other than a change to the gear ratio. It's a little bit different for second and third. But for the most part, the bottom end of the engine is the same. The top end is where we see all the upgrades. They've tried to really change the port angles in the new head. They've gone ahead and gone, you know, they say the word downdraft. It's not as severe as, say, what you see on the Yamaha Honda, because they are still limited to more of a traditional frame and cylinder design. But they've tried to get, you know, decrease the amount of angle that the fuel and air has to go through when it enters the cylinder head. So to do that, they've swapped to a throttle body that has an undermount injector, so that area isn't taken up top, so they can move that throttle body up and kind of try to decrease the angle into the head. And they've also brought the air boot up as high as they can, but they're still limited by the shock tower region. So they've done everything they can to get away a little bit of angle in there, get the fuel and air in quicker. And then also up the intake is a dual injector, which we've only seen production on the KX250F so far. We're actually now called a KX250. And Suzuki has gone ahead and brought that into theirs. It's mounted in the underside of the air boot, directly behind the air filter element, so really early in the air boot. And there's a little bit of a divider inside the air boot that the fuel contacts to kind of shear it as it gets ready to go down into the throttle body, meet up with the second injector's fuel load, and then into the cylinder head. The camshafts have been slightly changed on this bike. It seems like a lot of the valve train, I think even the piston might be shared with the prior bike. There was no mention of an update there. So it really comes down to more of the head itself and then that minor cam update. And then exiting the head, they've gone to a center port exhaust. So instead of coming out an angle and going around the frame, they've taken more of the route of like a KTM Husqvarna, and they've kept the cradle very high, like an old two-stroke, so they have the area to bring the head pipe straight out through the cradle and then come back around. And with that, they've got a little bit longer head pipe than they used to have going into an all-new mid-pipe and muffler section as well. The other notable update for the bike is suspension. The shock body is changed, mostly for the routing and the difference in the frame of the airbox, but still KYB unit. Still has their three-prong adjuster up top and one rebound down below, so four total adjusters. It's not a BFRC like the Showa version on the 450. And then fork-wise, still with KYB, but they've swapped from the PSF2 air fork to the AOS coil spring fork. I apologize for any days. I'm a little on the under the weather side, sadly, on this trip. Anyway, so let's move into the opinion of the bike. We show up at the track in the morning, get our first go with the bike, get to sit down on it. Base setting, looks like the fork was 1 to 2 millimeters off flush with the cap line, and then sag for us, they went ahead and went straight to 110 millimeters. I think that has a lot to do with, even though this is its own chassis, it is designed and has the same design basic principles as the 450. I think they've learned off the initial comments that the 450 is a very high lift chassis. It's always lifting, feels a little tall, so they've gone to the same sag, saying that they were running with us this year on the 450, just all the way to 110, sent us out. And initially around the track, bike balance was pretty decent. Dealing with the soft conditions was interesting. We were trying to figure out if it was as much of the conditions trying to change the bike balance or if it was the natural feeling of the bike. For me, I don't know if it's linkage ratio or shock setting, but the shock definitely seems to lift still a little bit easy on this. So we tried a couple things, such as opening high speed compression about 4 to 5 clicks, rebound on high speed, rebound got slowed down 4 or 5 clicks as well, trying to get that rear end to settle down, able to kind of get it to a little bit better balance. And from there, I actually took another quarter turn off the rear shock spring. So I think my final sag setting was around 112 millimeters. With that, the bike felt very balanced. Nothing really in the terms I would complain about further from there. The biggest thing is that definitely seems like a little bit of a big change, but for me, the initial balance of the bike was still quite a bit better than what they released the 450 with last year. So I think they've learned a lot from that. Up front with the spring fork, or moving over to KYB spring fork, definitely a good overall change. The PSF2 that was on it prior felt like the stock air pressure settings they were using were just really high, and it did have a lot of valving, so it felt very topped out. The coil spring fork definitely has more comfort, but at the same time, I feel like they've still set up the bike similar in the way that they've used high spring forces. Front to rear, this bike actually has the same spring rates as a 450. The 5.0s found in the fork are the same spring rate you'd find in an RMZ 450, a KX 450, a Honda 450, and for me, it just made the bike feel a little bit topped out initially, a little bit tall, a little bit of tension on the initial part of the stroke that was a little hard to break. I'm at a high 150 pounds on this trip, so definitely what I consider more in the target. Still, maybe a little bit higher on the target weight goal for a 250, but the Suzuki crew also mentioned that their target weight goal was 165. For me, though, I still think that those rates, front and rear, were a tad bit much, and I think that's one of the first key areas I would want to work on the bike, because I really feel like the valving setting front to rear is pretty good on the bike, especially in the fork. It was just more trying to deal with the fork spring rate. So for me, try to go a couple clicks softer and a couple clicks slower on rebound to try to eliminate what I felt like was a bit of deflection on the front end because of the high spring force. It would react to things really easily. Going ahead and slowing it down, softening up, definitely was able to break that initial tension I was feeling and try to use more of the stroke. From there, mid-stroke on to bottom resistance was really good for me. Definitely. So, like I said, overall, I think the spring fork and the change there was a huge step in the right direction. Moving on to engine, I guess probably that's where I should have started because I'm sure that's what everybody is the most curious about with this bike. And yes, it's an improvement. It actually really is. First thing I noticed getting on the bike and just kind of riding through the pits and doing our photos on a couple corners is the overall engine characteristic really hasn't changed from the prior Suzuki. It doesn't feel like an all-new engine by any means. It's more of an upgrade to what they currently had prior. They felt like they had a very free, snappy engine in the prior bike, but without a lot of torque feel off the bottom. So it felt like more like it was responding based off RPM and trying to build RPM quick. And I feel like that's what the new bike does. But the biggest advantage is the power found at higher RPMs from that mid RPM range on is so much greater on the new bike. So initially, I feel like the new bike is a little bit more crisp at the click of throttle, a little bit more connected and responsive. But still not a lot of roll on torque, but it gets into its mid-range a little quicker and then starts to build RPM much faster. The engine's freed up a lot, I'd say, in the first 20 to 30 minutes we rode the bikes. They felt like they were a little tight in the engine department when we first started with the hour break-in. Needed just a little bit more time and the engine really freed up and started to rev really well. Biggest thing for me was there was a little bit off the initial was good, and then there was a little bit of a hesitation or garble. So we swapped from the standard coupler to the lean coupler, which made a pretty noticeable difference. I've had the coupler system for a long time, but I felt like the jumps on the couplers were much larger on the current bike. So for me, the lean cleaned up that little bit of a garble it had, made it come on really crisp. Like I said, not a lot of a roll and torque feel, but definitely came on good. And then mid-range is when it really started to build and started to just feel like it wanted a free rev, started to pick up speed. And then the biggest difference is the old bike I felt like was really mid-range base because that's where the power, where it snapped and it responded the best, but then it didn't pull the best up top. Yes, all 250s are really much more of a high RPM engine than when you compare them to a 450, but the prior Suzuki 250F, it just felt like compared to the last couple of years, compared to its competition, just didn't pull as well up top. It felt like it created, like it just nosed over earlier. It made the bike react weird. So it was definitely better to short shift a little bit off, I would say. If you're pulling some of the other bikes into the high 12,000 range, it felt like the Suzuki was shifting a little over 10. It needed to get up into the next gear a little bit quicker. But also, as a problem, the old bike is it felt like it wasn't quite revved down enough when you'd shift and you'd drop too far down the RPM range. I think that's where the biggest difference I noticed with this bike is how much more usable all the gear was. Because it was more initially responsive, I could let it lug down a little bit more in third and I could get to pick up and come back to life. But at the same time, it pulls so much better up top. It's easier to run out each gear. And then when you make a shift, it just feels like each gear is more complete than the old bike. Second to third to fourth is definitely more usable. One of the only other things I noticed was a little bit is we've gone from the final gearing is 13 tooth front, 50 rear. That's up one from the prior year. I would still say with the gear ratios down below, mostly talking about the second to third gear jump, I would go either way with the gearing. I'd either go back to a 49 or maybe up to a 51 because I felt like the gap was just a little bit weird on the track we were riding. I felt like I was second guessing that second to third gear decision sometimes. I feel like based on wanting to try to ride it more in third, I'd probably go up one more tooth, just bring in second, third closer because the third to fourth jump was really good. And I felt like it was really strong on the bike because there were some fast open roller sections in the back. You get it up and go from that third to fourth gear transition, I thought was really clean. I never felt like I had to second guess that. Even off RPM, I could shift early in third or late, and I still felt like fourth was very complete and usable. So I would rather work on getting that second to third gap a little bit better because I feel like the third to fourth gap is really good, and even then fourth to fifth. Like I said, for them, engine department, it's definitely a big change. Still not in the, say, KTM Yamaha area, definitely of power output, but now something that is very comparable and very competitive out of the box versus the Kicks or the Honda, in my opinion. Like I said, not much of a torque character, more of a free revving, snappy character. It feels pretty well mapped through the range, other than that bit of garble we were trying to clean up, like I said, with the coupler change, but pretty snappy and responsive in a lot of places, and definitely more of a mid to top character. For them, they're claiming a power output gain of a little over 5%, which we didn't get a dyno number from them, but just based off simple math, I would say we're looking at around a 2 horsepower peak gain versus what they had. And when you see at least the overlay charts, yeah, the low to mid range from just off the crack of throttle, 2000 RPM idle up into around 5500 is very similar between this and the old bike. And then that's where you see the new bike start to pull away from 6 into 7000 RPM on. You just start to see the new bike lifts compared to the old graph, and it keeps pulling. And the biggest difference is where the old bike peaked, it fell off, and it felt like at high RPM that bike reacted really weird. Like it had, you could feel it nose over early, and it would upset the chassis and the overall feel of the bike. The new bike continues to pull much more competently through the end of its range. It doesn't nose over quite as quick. Even after it reaches its peak RPM or peak horsepower, it doesn't have as much drop off. So the bike is much easier to also hang out at the higher RPM, and it doesn't feel like it upsets the bike and doesn't nose over as quick and throw off the balance a little bit. Overall, just then, it's a lot easier to ride aggressively. Like I said, so going on to the actual chassis itself, I think is one of the hardest things to predict based off the material we rode. Once I got the balance dialed in, I tried a couple other things. Fork height, like I said, it looked like it was around a 2 millimeter height. I've tried going lower and higher. I really didn't find anything I liked more than where we were at with the stock setting. Going out more on the track we were dealing with didn't really help with the initial feel I was chasing on the fork, and bringing it up didn't help. I felt like the bike turned well enough, even though with such a low sag number, the bike still turned, in my opinion, quite well in the couple dry sections we actually had to have more of a rut. I didn't feel the need to bring the forks up anymore. The Suzuki's already turned so quick, so even with the sag down that low, I felt like it was much calmer. Very bike to easily roll through a few of the longer corners on the track. The biggest thing I really can't attest to is chassis comfort. I thought was the biggest thing that left me with a question mark. I really couldn't say if where it felt is ridge versus maybe more flex in places based off the material, and kind of going through the slop and finding the hard base, it was a little bit harder to figure out some of those things. At least a bonus with the overall feel is tire wise they have jumped up to Dunlop's MX33, being that the bike is gonna be a little bit layer. They got advantage on some of the other OEMs that had to do 3S's on their orders this year, so that's a nice little nod. But overall, I think some of the fine character of how exactly we would adjust the suspension and what settings we'd recommend, and how the chassis is going to feel a little bit more, that final balance and comfort is going to come down to when we finally get to test the bikes in materials and tracks that we're used to and accustomed to. So overall, I think the biggest question answer is improvement? Yes, and it's more than I expected, especially after what we received on the 450 this year. I definitely came into this event really second guessing what they were possibly going to do with the bike. Just based off the initial photos, we knew there was going to be a big chassis overhaul, but the engine was a question mark. While it hasn't jumped into the leading edge of the class for engine performance, I definitely think it's a big step for them in the right direction. I think the really cool part too with the new head design is what the bike is also capable of from an aftermarket standpoint. Already seeing some engine builders make some comments because Suzuki made all the changes around the head. There's still a lot more to gain because of the head design. It's a lot easier for guys to work with. Some of the, you know, cam-wise, piston-wise cool that they carry, that the engine is kind of also carryover, because there's going to be a lot of parts that are going to be available to work with. And I think not only is it, of course, better out of the box, I also think from the racer level, the guy that's going to tune and play with it, there's also much more to extract. And I think even though the bike has, you know, gained stock, I think there's more left over to work with than what the prior bike had, which is definitely exciting for the guys that really are into the brand or really like the handling and really want to take one of these racing competitively. There's definitely a better stock base to work with on this bike, and definitely a better aftermarket or potential level. I think overall, initially, I can't really stand out or find anything about the bike that I think is worse than the outgoing bike, which is really good. I think in overall, they've made improvement in every aspect. Like I said, based on some of my comments about the suspension, the spring rate decisions, a little bit balance, I still think there's some things to really fine-tune about the bike when it comes out. And once I think we get the bikes in California, we're hoping to have them sometime in November. We'll see if our media units might be coming up around then, which will be good. We can get some time on them and start to learn more about settings and what can really make a difference on this bike, because I definitely think they've put out enough effort to move the bike up, say, in a comparison standpoint compared to everything else in the class. I think they've definitely gone from being by far the bike on the oust, on the farthest end of the scale for performance back, you know, at the low end, to being up competitive with some of the other bikes in the field. And I think with some adjustments, it can definitely be, I think definitely off the showroom floor, it offers something that pretty much anybody would be a lot more happy with than what they prior had. Overall, though, because of the engine characteristics, the overall chassis feel, I definitely think it's a bike that suits more of an aggressive rider, maybe more that youth rider coming up. The only thing that definitely question marks is the suspension, mostly the spring setting, to me, doesn't suit the smaller guy coming into it. That would be the first recommendation I would have, and the first standout for when these come out. If you're definitely in my weight range or below, it would be the biggest thing I would change, because I think it would really make the bike, you know, what's already very improved, feel like a whole new machine in its own right. So that's what we got for you guys for now. We'll have a little more of a write-up below this when I get some time. We're getting ready to jump on a plane here in a actually, I fly out another day and a half, but get through there. I'll do more of a typed up, more concise thought. I just want to get this audio file up so people can listen to it, try to learn more about what we experienced while on the trip, and most of what we just, of course, thought of the bike and what the conditions were and what we were presented to test with.